The days are longer, the calendar's filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grooms. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber. So I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing. They're easy to toss in my bag on the go. Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA FSA eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grooms.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
Why have we asked our contractor we found on Angie.com to be our kid's legal guardian? Because he took such good care when redoing our basement that we knew we could trust him to care for our kids, all 8 of them, should something happen to us.
Are you my dad now?
No, sorry, I do basements.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play!
Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Happy Monday, everybody. Another week of Fantasy Football Talk here on Fantasy Football Today. 4 episodes for you, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And if there's any breaking news, get ready for the bonus pods. But right now, we're going to talk about some of our favorite values. It's Adam, Dan, and Heath. I want to say the first time ever, Heath, that it's been Adam, Dan, and Heath on consecutive episodes.
Wow.
Think
historic.
So? You think that's...
I'm glad Dan is preserving the bit.
What's the bit?
Adam sent us a text this morning telling us kind of what we need for the show. I didn't quite understand, so I clarified. There was a string of probably 5 or 6 texts that fully spelled out what we were doing. And Dan, you know, I mean, woke up about an hour and a half after we did and looks at the text and says, "So what are we doing?" Because he's not going to read the text. He doesn't read text. He doesn't read emails.
Listen,
it's so true.
When did those original texts come in? Was that over the weekend? Because I was probably doing something.
No, it was this morning.
All this morning.
Okay. Well, I know what
you
we're
didn't
doing
even
now.
Look at the timestamps. Like, didn't you just like, I've got some notifications. I see the last text, its names. What am we doing?
I thought we broke bread, squashed the beef on FFT Dynasty last week. Heath, we're putting the Dynasty stuff behind us. Yeah. I admitted it was my fault. I will do better. I won't have that same mistake next year. I mean, look, when the season ends next year, I'm just cutting 17 players immediately. I'm not even going to give
it
a chance.
Can we stop? I don't want to talk about this anymore. Like, enough. All right. Listen, we got some news and notes, and then the players we'll talk about on our most wanted list. I won't tell you whose is whose. We'll talk about Jordan Addison, Davante Adams, Terry McLaurin, Kyle Pitts, Brock Purdy, and Nico Collins. But right now, let's talk about Christian Watson. So Christian Watson, a 4-year, $110.5 million extension. He has a $31 million signing bonus. The Packers gave Jaden Reed an extension earlier this offseason. That was 3 years, $50 million. So this is more than double that with one extra year. So a bigger financial commitment to Christian Watson than Jaden Reed for what that's worth. And Dan, I think you sent in a list that aforementioned text message, you sent a list of players that you liked at their ADPs, and we're using for today's show Fantasy Pros overall PPR ADP. And Christian Watson was one of those guys, and I said, you know, we'll talk about him in the news and notes. Let's select 2 other players, but now's your chance to talk about why you like Christian Watson's value. Right now, he is going as wide receiver 27, 55th overall.
Yeah, I think the Green Bay Packers told us why I like his value at wide receiver 27, 55th overall. When he returned last year, he became as close to a focal point as we've seen in a Packers Matt LaFleur scheme as we can get since he's kind of taken over as that OC. I mean, we haven't had a focal point, and he's not that, which is why he's ranked all the way down at wide receiver 27. But he was as close to being that as we've seen, and he had targets down the field. He had targets in the intermediate and short areas of the field that he just wasn't being utilized in earlier in his career. I think that's going to continue coming into this year with the possibility of an expanded red zone role as well, depending on what happens with their running back situation there. I think there's a definite opportunity, depending on what happens there at running back, for this team to go more pass first in 2026. So I don't ultimately think he needs to be a target hog to pay back this ADP, but I do think that he's being priced right now at basically what I could see his floor being, barring an injury, of course, And I think there's a real opportunity for him to break into that back end wide receiver one, borderline wide receiver one, wide receiver two range this season.
Okay, that's Christian Watson. Heath, let's get your thoughts on Watson. Last year, finished as wide receiver 13 per game in non-PPR, 17th per game in half PPR, 19 per game in full PPR. He played 10 games. He was coming off, he did all this coming off a torn ACL, let's not forget, which he did at the very end of the 2024 season. So he didn't play until week 8. Here's a fun stat for you. Since he entered the league in 2022, here are your top 5 players, wide receivers, in fantasy points per target. And I think I set the minimum to 100 targets. Christian Watson is 3rd. Jaden Reed is 1. Jalen Naylor is 2. Christian Watson 3. Jameson Williams 4. Kayshon Booty 5. So that's a worthless stat for you. But what do you think about what do you think about Watson going as wide receiver 27 right now?
That seems about right to me. I think he's a really difficult player, and this is a really strange contract extension, just because of the way the Packers have functioned and what Christian Watson has been so far in his career. I mean, he's going to be 27 years old this year. He does not have a 700-yard season.
Yeah.
And the big part of that is because he – well, a part of that is because of the injuries. And I like there could be a year where he stays healthy, and I don't know. They don't have a number one wide receiver, and they haven't thrown the ball more than 490 times the last 2 years. And Watson did give us a very small sample last year of earning some targets. But I just like it's. I think he's the quintessential boom bust wide receiver 3, and at 27, like maybe he's one of the best boom bust wide receiver 3s.
I think he's very similar to Jameson Williams, who's going 2 wide receivers ahead of him. These are guys who. Oh,
here he.
Go ahead.
Even last year, he had 2 games with more than 6 targets.
Yeah.
He did also have 3 games where he finished inside the top 5 scoring at receiver in just 9 games, though. So he has, I guess it really does speak to what you were saying, Heath. There was a ton of boom bust because he also had, 4 games where he finished outside the top 40 in scoring. So it was definitely more boom bust. But even in that sense, you could still see that was, in my mind at least, with, look, 6 touchdowns in, 9 games since returning? Or was it 6? I think it was actually 10 games. Sorry.
10 games. Size.
He didn't play week 18. So the touchdowns were definitely up from past years on a per game basis. So I mean, it is a little bit of a bet on the Packers making an adjustment to how they call offense into the flow of this offense, because it's been very run heavy. But I feel like that's a decent bet to make given the trajectory of where this offense is headed. And we don't know what's going to happen with Josh Jacobs, obviously, but that's just where I'm at with it.
Over the last 3 seasons, they've averaged 516 pass attempts per year. So there was back in 2023, it was 581. That's boosting that number quite a bit, but we'll include that. So that would be 27 more passes than they threw last year. Christian Watson, when he played that week 8 through week 17, had a 19% target share. That's about 100 targets for a season.
All right, so I'll just make you a little more optimistic if you want to buy into the narrative that things were changing for him. So he played those 10 games. In the first 3 games, he had an ADOT of 25.9 yards, which is insane, and he had a 12% target share. From weeks 11 through 18, this is where we saw a little bit of a different profile. He had a lower ADOT of still 15.5 yards. It's never going to be a hit. That's really high, but it's not super. It's not ridiculous. But he had 23.5% target share, 28.3% target per route run rate. He left one of the games early, by the way. He averaged 2.78 yards per route run. And by the way, since entering the league, he's 16th in yards per route run. And basically every player ahead of Christian Watson in yards per route run over the last 4 years is or has been a superstar, with some exceptions like Luther Burden's on there, Jalen Waddle, Brandon Ayuk. Those are some of the worst names on the list. So I went back and I looked at just the last 3 years. Can you be a top 24 receiver with 100, 105 targets or something like that? And basically the answer is yes, if you excel in 2 areas. One, yards per catch, which he's going to probably be one of the leaders. Two, touchdowns. So it's come, and he's been good at those.
Yeah.
That's why I compared him to Jameson Williams, because Jameson Williams showed up on that list twice as low targets, but finishing in top 24. Jordan Addison is another guy. Heath, I know he's someone you like. Now, you can get Addison 30 picks later than Watson, 40 picks later than Watson. But they kind of similar. You got to be efficient. You got to score touchdowns. So he can do it. But even at his best, that stretch where I mentioned he had a 23.5% target share, he was on pace for 104 targets. So they're going to have to throw more, hopefully. All right, Kansas City. Another guy that showed up on your list, Dan, of your favorite values was Ken Walker. And Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy said that Walker, I praised what he was doing as a rusher, but he said he needs to get better at pass protection and route running. Can you be a stud running back if you don't really play on third down? Yes, you can. You can be Derrick Henry. You can be James Cook. Josh Jacobs played about 27%, ran about 27% of the third down routes when he was healthy. So it is possible, but you got to get a lot of work and a lot of touchdowns. So why do you like Ken Walker this year?
Well, it really starts with the second thing you mentioned. You got to get a lot of touchdowns. And who is going to get those touchdowns on this Chiefs offense at the running back position? Kareem Hunt. We've had 2 years in a row now where Kareem Hunt was somebody who probably should have been drafted, wasn't drafted, and was then scooped off all waiver wires. And ultimately, we had conversations, Adam, that I remember with you, like, is Kareem Hunt? It's Kareem Hunt or X this week. And we chose Kareem Hunt a lot because he was described as maybe a back-end flex. But the reality was, in the midst of the season, he became an RB2 because he scored touchdowns all the time. The Chiefs get in the red zone all the time. This is one of those offenses. Obviously, this is assuming Mahomes comes back. And right now, he's already practicing. So I actually have a feeling he might be back even for week one. We'll see. Heath probably has more insight on that. But this is an offense that gets in the red zone early and often. In addition to these expanded red zone opportunities with Kareem Hunt not coming back, I think he'll have some of the most red zone opportunities in the NFL. Also, last year, Isaiah Pacheco faced light boxes, I believe, more than any running back in the NFL. And he did nothing with them. He was the worst at that. And you're nodding your head. Is that incorrect?
No, it's the opportunities could have been there for Pacheco. It just, it didn't work.
And he struggled. And it is what it is. Like, I don't know what it was for Pacheco. He didn't have his best season. But the reality is, they're going to continue to face light boxes at either the highest rate or the second or third highest rate in the NFL because Patrick Mahomes is on this team. And that's how NFL defenses play Mahomes. Even though Mahomes has really struggled with deep passing over the last 2 years, I saw the stat on it last week. It was pretty insane to even look at. It doesn't really matter. DCs are not going to change how they play him. They're going to play two high safety, split safety look. They're going to play at depth that they don't play with most teams at. So he'll continue to get opportunities that Pacheco was unable to cash in on, but Walker, the talent he is, I think will be able to cash in on those opportunities. So the combination of those two things, expanded red zone opportunities for him in my mind versus what he had in Seattle, and much better opportunities from a between the 20 standpoint, the opportunity once you get down to the 40, 30 yard range of the opposing team's field, the chance to have big runs from there that could lead to touchdowns. I've never been a Ken Walker guy in my life. I've literally faded him every single year of my fantasy career. He's been on my bust fade list. And this is the first year I'm buying in because at this price tag, I don't necessarily think his upside is being priced in.
Okay.
Isn't he like an early second round pick?
Yeah. And I think he could easily be a top 10 scorer in fantasy. Easily.
He's going 16th right now, Ken Walker. And he's in this group of running backs that don't really have a lot of backfield competition, I'd say, Heath. Devon Achane. Well, I mean, start James Cook, Devon Achane. You can throw Genty in there. I mean, basically all these guys. Chase Brown. But Chase Brown's going to lose third down snaps to Perine. Omarion Hampton, does he have competition? That's the one. I look at in this list, I go Saquon Barkley, Devon Achane, Chase Brown, Omarion Hampton, Ken Walker. Who's going to lose the most carries? I hope none of them. But I feel like Hampton would be my bet, Heath, if I were betting on one guy to lose carries. In
out of this group? Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have Hampton the lowest in that group in terms of total rush attempts. I think he probably does have a lower share of their rushes than Chase Brown, but Chase Brown's team is going to run the ball so little that he's very like Brown and Hampton are both right around 230 carries in my projections. And I've got Walker up around almost 270.
Okay. All right, let's go through the rest of the news and notes here. Aaron Wilson of NBC Sports Houston thinks that second-year receiver Jaden Higgins could have a breakout season. Higgins actually had a stretch of five games where he had 7 to 9 targets in four of those five games, but never did a lot with the, he never had more than 55 yards. He did catch 3 touchdowns. Actually, I don't know if this will hold up, but Higgins, he had 12.3% of Houston's total targets, but he had 25.6% of their end zone targets. So he was used there. Denver linebacker Jonathan Cooper was arrested on domestic violence charges. This is a guy who basically plays every game, has had 8 or more sacks in 3 straight seasons. Mike Kay of the Charlotte Observer. Charlotte Observer. He thinks Chuba Hubbard is going to come out of the gate with the lion's share of the touches. And he thinks that Jonathan Brooks will have a chance to earn more playing time as the season progresses. Tampa Bay, you know, we talked about their offense kind of struggled last year. One thing I basically never mentioned, that their center, Cody Mauch, missed all but 2 games, tore his meniscus in week 2. Well, he's participating in OTAs and hopes to be ready by training camp. Omar Kelly of the Miami Herald thinks that rookie wide receiver Kevin Coleman should be the Dolphins' starting slot receiver. That's just his opinion. And Chicago, the Bears, their board of directors advanced a plan to develop a stadium in Hammond, Indiana.
People are very unhappy about this.
Yeah.
I don't understand that. Like, I understand it, but like the Chiefs just did it. It's the same thing the Giants have done for decades.
Right.
True.
Like, it's just, it is what it is.
It I don't know how far away Hammond, Indiana is from where they play now. Do you guys know?
I just know it's 25 minutes from the Chicago loop from the city, from what I heard.
That's nothing.
I know. I was kind of appalled by it too. And then I looked into it and saw that and I was like, oh, never mind. This is not something to be outraged over.
I was outraged. No, I was sad when the Hurricanes moved from the Orange Bowl to where the Dolphins play now. But my God, what a great decision that was.
Why? Why is it such a good decision?
Because this old stadium was dilapidated. Pile of crap. And it's the new stadium is 20 minutes closer to where I lived. So it was, look at that. So that's what, 30 minute drive from Soldier Field.
Yeah, but those people in Elmhurst are going to be pissed. And Wheaton.
In Elmhurst. So what the hell? An hour drive to the stadium.
Look at the difference for them. Evanston, they had a decent drive. Now Evanston's got to go way out.
Well, we've been talking about Evanston so much on the show lately.
I just feel bad because Arlington Heights almost had the stadium. That's where they were going to build at Arlington Heights.
I mean, imagine living in Crystal Lake. I mean, come on, pour one out for your Crystal Lake Bears fans.
Crystal Lake is getting killed here.
The weather won't maybe be quite as bad.
30 minutes south. I don't know about that.
Well,
you're not on the lake. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I see that. The lake wind is a real thing. Living in Madison, Wisconsin for 4 years, the lake wind is devastating. So that's that's a good point. Good take by Heath. We may have to adjust our weather.
I wonder when this will happen. I don't know what the timeline is, but can we get a 4,000-yard passer at Soldier Field?
Maybe moving off the lake is what will do it.
Maybe. All right, we're going to take a break.
Probably going to have a roof anyway.
I hope. We'll take a break and get get into the most wanted list for the three of us. And also, we're going to have a little battle between Dan and Heath. A little impromptu battle between the two of these guys. So
That's something new.
Right when we come back. We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today.
The days are longer, the calendar's filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grooms. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber. So I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing. They're easy to toss in my bag on the go. Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA, FSA eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grooms.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
Why have I asked my HVAC guy I found on Angie.com to change my grandpa's trachea tube? Because I was so amazed by how quickly he replaced our air ducts. I knew I could trust him to change Pop-Pop's tube while I was on vacation.
Make it quick, young man.
Aw, see? Pop-Pop trusts you.
I think we should call a doctor.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Casino.
Let's get into our most wanted list. We'll save the Dan Heath battle for after Heath's two players that he talks about, which are going to be Jordan Addison and Kyle Pitts. They're going 95th, 99th overall, right around there. Jordan Addison is wide receiver 45 in Fantasy Pros ADP, and it's basically where he finished last year. He was 45th overall. He was 50th per game in full PPR. He was better in non-PPR, where he was 43rd per game and 42nd overall. He was actually terrific with Carson Wentz in weeks 4 through 8. On pace for over 1,300 yards and 9 touchdowns, but man, we basically have to throw out everything with JJ McCarthy. So anyway, Jordan Addison is someone you like as wide receiver 45 right now.
Yeah, he's been kind of similar to Christian Watson in terms of being very efficient, scoring a lot of touchdowns, played with an awful quarterback situation last year, so it fell off. But everyone is expecting Kyler Murray to save Justin Jefferson. And Jordan Addison's just being drafted where he finished last year on a per-game basis. I think he is in that. I would rather have Christian Watson than Jordan Addison, but I think he's in that same boom-bust wide receiver group. You can call Watson a high-end boom-bust wide receiver 3, and you can call Addison a low-end boom-bust wide receiver 3.
In his career, Jordan Addison has been... So he's better in the other formats. Well, I'll just give you his worst format, which is full PPR. 31st per game, 25th per game, and 50th per game. So in two seasons before the McCarthy era, 31st per game as a rookie, 25th per game as a sophomore, and in non-PPR, 23rd and 18th per game. I don't know. I haven't really been targeting him just because I don't know. Like 2024, they threw for 4,379 yards and 35 touchdowns. 2023, they were, I think, even better than that. And I don't know. It's 4,700 yards and 30 touchdowns. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't know that they can get back to those heights. They can't get to 4,700 yards.
Well, no, but he's being drafted as wide receiver 45.
Yeah. Does he have upside? You know, what's his upside? 25th per game? You think he can eclipse that? That's his best finish so far, Jordan Addison.
I mean, if Justin Jefferson stays healthy, then that's probably his upside.
Yeah. Dan, how do you feel about Addison?
Hasn't typically been someone I've targeted, but Heath made a good case where just buying him right now at his absolute floor. The issue is he's just one of these like Metcalf type players. And I guess you could maybe put Watson in there. I think Watson will take a step forward, but I can totally understand if you would. These DK Metcalf, whatever, Watson, Addison type players where it's like, total in the end, it's like, yeah, they finished as wide receiver X, whatever it may be. But did you trust him on a weekly basis? Could you play him on a weekly basis? Because I see the argument being made all throughout Twitter for Metcalf. And like on the surface, it makes sense. It's like, wow, Metcalf finished as wide receiver 26 last year. Now we're buying. Now his ADP is wide receiver 36. How could it possibly be worse? It's like, well, it was a weird wide receiver 26 because they'll have a blow up week or two, but you don't start him because he had 4 weeks in a row where he killed you. So, I mean, in best ball, Addison's definitely somebody I'm more interested in. But in these weekly start-sit leagues that we mostly play, it's just a frustrating player unless you feel like Murray can be what Sam Darnold was in 2024. And that's something that I struggle with a little bit. Darnold's bigger player. He's never had as much trouble throwing over the middle of the field. More explosive thrower in my mind in all senses of the word. And just more importantly, at least has displayed that he can put together a rhythmic passing attack. Murray hasn't done that in a while, if ever. So while I'm definitely more confident in Murray than JJ McCarthy, it's just that's the big thing for me, for him to really become that weekly guy we can rely on and not have to like, here's 20 points, but here's 3 points 3 weeks in a row. He needs Murray to step up.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to become a weekly guy that we just always know, but I just don't think those guys are available at wide receiver 40.
That's fair.
Yeah, but you know, it's interesting.
They're probably not available at wide receiver 30 either. So I think no. That's your point.
Right. But if let's take a look at this list here, actually really. I struggled with this show today because I could give some names that I've talked about them. Like, I'm not going to talk about Chase Brown again. You know, I think people probably know who I like for the most part. So I try to pick, I did pick Nico Collins, who's not new for me, but I try to like be a little different. But I was looking at this range of receiver.
Yeah.
And I really like it in general. I mean, to be able to be at 95 overall and get Quentin Johnston, Ricky Pearsall.
Like,
yeah, I like this group. You know, I'm not saying everyone's going to be good, but Quentin Johnston, Ricky Pearsall, Jordan Addison, Jacoby Myers, Josh Downs. You know, he thought about picking Jacoby Myers for today's show. Josh Downs, you talked about last week as someone you like when we did the player outlooks. I actually think I'm not saying there's a league winner in this group, maybe, but I think this is good value for guys that are not even in the top 40 at wide receiver. I like it.
I see a lot of players I would struggle with starting on a weekly basis.
Yeah, but we're talking about wide receivers 43 and beyond.
We are in round 9. You're not drafting starters.
But you are drafting these guys. You have to draft them thinking, well, they could become starters.
Right.
And I can see the case for all of them.
I 100% like 100% believe Quentin Johnston could.
Yeah.
I guess.
I like Jacoby Myers a lot more. Like, if you're
Myers
talking about
maybe.
A floor play, right. Jacoby Myers is much more exciting.
And even Wandale for me as a floor play, I personally probably would take Wandale over a lot of these players like Pearsall and players who have just not done anything in the NFL level.
I could see that with Pearsall. The other guys I couldn't really.
I mean, Wandale could literally be the focal point of the offense potentially based on what we've seen with Dable. If they want to make things easy for Cam Ward, at least for the first half of the season, maybe things evolve and they can evolve to a different offense. But he's the only one of those guys we're looking at that has any kind of target upside, right? Who else has anywhere near the target upside of those players that Wandale, Downs, Myers, Addison, Pearsall, Quentin Johnston?
I think Myers has target upside. It's just like Robinson. He's not going to turn them into a lot of fantasy points.
Yeah, I mean, Wandale's got two straight years with 140 or more targets. One of those years, Malik Nabers did play. That's pretty interesting. But I was actually going to pick Carnell Tate for this exercise. I didn't because he's going just like a little too early for me to say I love his ADP. He's going around 60th overall, which is fine. But it's because I don't believe in Wandale Robinson. I just
never have.
No, and nor should I have. I mean, he's
I think you could argue that you should have last year.
I mean, guess
how was he not a good pick last year?
No, he was a good pick last year, but he would not have been a good pick last year if Malik Nabers hadn't been out for the season and Wandale, you know,
what did he do the year before?
Nothing.
Malik Nabers was there.
He had 140 targets and he finished as wide receiver 36 overall.
And he's being drafted at wide receiver 48 here.
And he was 49th per game 2 years ago. Probably a little bit higher. 47th per game if I take out two guys who played once. But 47th per game with 140 targets 2 years ago.
And since then, he's been paid $80 million.
Yeah, what was a bad sign?
$80 million.
All right, Kyle Pitts. You did make a good point about the target upside. Kyle Pitts is the other guy that Heath wanted to talk about. And he was a top 6 tight end in half and full PPR on a per-game basis. So discuss Kyle Pitts, who is going 95th overall as tight end 7.
Yeah, I did not choose someone new for this portion of the exercise. I just talk about Kyle Pitts every week. I talk about Kevin Stefanski every week, really. It's almost guaranteed 9 targets per game from the tight end position in his offense. Maybe one or two of them goes to Austin Hooper or somebody else. But I think there's a very good chance we're getting north of 100 targets from Kyle Pitts once again. I think we see an increase in the yak because he gets more easy button throws in the Stefanski offense. I think there's, if not a good quarterback, at least a good floor between Tua and Penix. It won't be an absolute disaster. And I expect him to be second on his team in targets and potentially a top 5 tight end.
Okay, he's going 95th, and you would take Kyle Pitts when?
Round 6.
Round 6. Okay, so that's quite a bargain for Pitts. And my counter to that is just, you know, without Drake London, he had a 29.3% target share and averaged 19 points per game in PPR. With Drake London last year, he had a 20% target share and averaged 9.6 PPR points per game, which is, you know, like a streamer.
And what were the Cousins Penix splits for Pitts? He was much better with Cousins, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yes, probably. But
it's really the entire Pitts argument comes down to, do you believe that offensive coordinators matter?
I don't think
it's the entire argument.
Yeah, I don't think it's the entire argument either.
But it is. Personally. You're right. I mean, look, I don't care as much about the offensive coordinator.
No, I do, but I also don't know necessarily if he. We talked about Sun Dynasty. He like, he's not your typical Stefanski tight end. He's not a Y tight end. So I mean, like, if he's just lined up as a big slot in that offense,
he doesn't really do that anymore. Actually, one thing he's played 5 years, Kyle Pitts, right? Yeah. In the first 3 years of his career, he was basically the highest A-dot tight end in the NFL. And he lined up out wide or in the slot, you know, more than half the time. The last 2 years, he's had an 8.4 and a 7.4 yard A-dot. I'm guessing 7.4 is probably like a little kind of average. You do see a lot of tight ends in the 5 to 6 range, 6.5. It's a low A-dot position with a lot of easy catches and yak. He's never been that guy, but he's getting lower in A-dot. But the biggest difference is last year, more than half of his snaps were in line. So
yeah, they moved him to Y last year in that Zach Robinson offense outside zone. Like, they need him there. And maybe this is where Stefanski sees him. Like, he might just watch the tape and be like, all right, we can use him in similar ways, or we can evolve his game, which is good. Like, that's the upside case for him. I agree with Heath. The downside case for me is, like, he did most of his work with a quarterback who's not on this roster anymore, and he has a huge, extensive injury history. Those are the two things that scare me about Pitts.
The injury history is interesting because he's played hurt so much, and maybe that's why we don't think he's that good necessarily. Or maybe some people don't think he's that good.
So he got hurt in 2022, and he played hurt in 2023.
Yeah.
Were there other, like, he's only had one season where he missed a game.
Yeah, I don't mean like missing time. I just mean he's on the field, but he's not effective, and he's got these nagging injuries that have been bothering him really since Florida. And maybe I'm overrating that. That's definitely possible. I see the upside case. I think for me, the bigger question mark is, like, why was so much of the production with Kirk Cousins and without London on the field?
I think you're missing. I don't think it's Cousins. I think it's London. Personally.
I thought it was Cousins.
I think the X factor is probably London not being there, not the quarterback necessarily. You know what
maybe.
I mean?
Penix doesn't strike me as someone who has really utilized his tight ends at any point. He threw outside the numbers all the time at Washington, and he did it with Atlanta last year. Tua is not someone really utilizing the middle of the field either.
And Tua, you could sit there and say, oh, well, Jonnu Smith had a huge season.
Yeah, those are dump downs. Those don't count.
Right, and Jonnu had one of the lowest ADOS.
Sign screens.
Well, dump downs are what Stefanski's done to tight ends.
You think Pitts will be used? If Pitts is used in that way, that's a totally different outlook for him.
I think another question is, can Kyle Pitts just be kind of a normal Kyle Pitts, maybe a little bit better, and still justify 95th overall? I think he could, you know, just like an extra point per game, right? 95th is still a nice discount. And you could be fine, like, cutting him if you drafted him 95th overall. You're not so invested in the guy where it's like, oh, it doesn't work out. All right, you guys ready for your battle?
What is it going to be?
Dan versus Heath battle.
Oh, is it Von Devante Adams?
No, it is.
Oh.
You each have 20 seconds to promote your podcast. Let's see who does a better job.
Heath can go first. Heath goes first.
All right, wait. Dan, I have a number behind my back. I have a number behind my back. One or two. Dan, guess.
Two.
It's two. All right, Heath, you go first.
Yeah, coming up on FFT Dynasty this week, we are going to do a 1QB startup mock draft. We'll have shows on Tuesdays and Fridays at 11:30 Eastern, and it will only be an hour.
All right, Dan, you're up.
You come for more than an hour for Beyond the Box Score, but this week you're starting to get the quarterback breakdowns in. Jacob and I have poured hours, and I literally mean hours of film, into Trevor Lawrence, Caleb Williams, some of the most important, impactful players. We're going to break down the tape. We're going to give you the stats. We're going to tell you about why you need to draft or avoid these players.
Ooh, I think he just got that in. That was really good.
Well done.
You guys, it's a tie. Well done. All right, Dan, first guy on your list is Terry McLaurin.
No, we swapped.
No, we didn't.
Yes, we did.
Who do we swap out?
I have Ibuka and Devontae Adams.
Oh, you want to do Ibuka and Adams?
You okayed this. Ibuka is my favorite.
Sorry, I thought we were doing McLaurin and Adams.
No.
Ibuka and Adams it is. Okay, Ibuka, if I remember correctly, he's going about 42nd overall. Let's see, 40th overall. Wide receiver 20 for Emeka Ibuka. In that range with Garrett Wilson, Terrell McMillan, Luther Burden, and even Terry McLaurin. So, all right, Ibuka, go.
Yeah, Emeka Ibuka, one of my favorite breakouts this year, entering year two of his career, natural progression from understanding of playing faster, understanding where to be on the field. But the reality is, when it comes to Ibuka, we had to watch so much Bucs tape for Beyond the Box Score last year. They were one of, like, our featured. It was the Bucs, the Jags, and the Bears. I feel like we watched more tape on them than any team. And There was no game that went by, Adam, where I didn't see Emeka Buka winning on a double move on the outside, getting open vertically, and Baker either didn't see him. Baker didn't throw the ball on time, or he didn't throw it accurately. He was, in a lot of ways, the sacrificial X once Mike Evans got hurt. This year, we've already heard them say he's not going to play that role anymore. He's going to play the move Z role, which is the exact role he needs to be playing. It fits his skill set better. And more importantly, it's going to get him an insane opportunity at targets. I think Igbuka could reach the 130, 140 range of targets, potentially even more, as the complete focal point of this offense, the best receiver in this offense, the ability to still win on those vertical routes if him and Baker can improve the timing. But game's going to slow down for him. His rapport with Baker gets better. And more importantly, he plays this role, this featured role. And from a target upside standpoint, at that spot of the draft, wide receiver 40, I don't think you have anyone who has anywhere near the target upside as Emeka Buka does.
Not McMillan?
I think that passing offense sucks so bad. No.
You were doing a great job until you said the target thing. Because I think
Garrett Wilson again, bad offense that can't move the ball passing wise. They're punting a lot.
He's been on bad offense.
No, that's a thing. If you're saying target share percentage, sure.
Look at his career.
I'm saying actual targets.
He gets like 8 targets a game, Garrett Wilson, every year of his career is on the worst offense in football. So I don't, unless you think that Cooper.
Well, I'm not saying all targets are equal. Of course, I'd rather the Baker Mayfield targets. The point I'm trying to make here.
Go ahead.
I just don't. I think Dan's right. If we get good Baker this year, I have absolutely no idea what Baker Mayfield we're getting.
He was hurt.
And remember, I talked about Cody Mock like a half hour ago, their starting center. He played guard in 2024, but he rated as, according to PFF, he was the 10th best pass blocking guard. I don't think that this note should be what sways you, but it will help to get him back in the interior of their offensive line.
Yeah, I'm more convinced just looking at Baker Mayfield's career from a statistical standpoint that 2024 is the clear and obvious outlier.
Fair. It's like, a Liam Cohen year. You could say the same about Trevor Lawrence probably.
Except he still has them.
And then he gets to keep Cohen.
He finished 2023 strong though too. Right? So he kind of carried it over.
Yeah. But just looking at the full season, like,
I don't think he's going to get back to 2024 numbers, let me be clear, because then Igbuka should be a top 10 receiver, top 12 in my mind.
He also started the year. I mean, Baker Mayfield scored 22.9 or more fantasy points in 5 of his first 6 games.
But don't you remember how that happened?
And in deep balls to Igbuka?
It was like, man, this has been a terrible performance from Baker Mayfield except for 3 plays.
I don't know. He only threw one pick.
I don't remember it the same way you do. I thought that he was in the MVP conversation.
He was. He had a bunch of long touchdowns.
He also played Houston, Philadelphia, and Seattle in that stretch. He had one interception in that stretch.
In that stretch, Igbuka finished as a top 7 scoring receiver in 3 of those games, including first and third overall.
Everyone got hurt on that team at some point and played through it. I gave the stat last week that Igbuka, ESPN said, before his week 6 hamstring injury, he had 11 routes of at least 18 miles per hour in the first 6 weeks of the season. And he had the first 5 weeks of the season. Then he had 11 routes in the last 12 weeks of the season of 18 miles per hour. So he just wasn't running as fast after the hamstring injury of Buka. I don't know. I mean, I feel like even if Baker just has a decent season, look at the wide receivers that are going around him, right? Like Garrett Wilson, and I'd even say Luther Burden, because I don't know that Caleb Williams is going to put up gaudy passing numbers. Teterola McMillan, right? Zay Flowers.
Yeah.
Baker's going to throw for more yards than Lamar Jackson, I think.
Certainly going to throw for more yards than Bryce Young and Geno Smith.
All right. I know Dave is on your side. He loves Emeka Buka this year.
Yeah.
Dave also loves commercial breaks. So in honor of Dave, let's take one of those. And we'll talk about Davante Adams when we come back. And I think Dave loves Davante Adams this year, too. We'll be right back.
I don't think Dave loves commercial breaks.
Dave loves Dan Schneier. We'll be right back.
Summer routines live or die by how easy they are. And honestly, if something takes too much effort, I'm out. That's why Grunes is my go-to. It's one daily pack of gummies covering my greens, vitamins, and minerals. Plus, it has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is more than 2 cups of broccoli. No mixing powders, no giant pills, no hassle. Just rip open the pack and I'm done. They taste good and it makes it easy to stay on top of my health, even when life gets busy. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at Grunes.co.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
Davante Adams going 50th overall, wide receiver 24. Why do you like him so much, Dan?
Yeah, it's just sprinting again for Davante Adams. He's a player I targeted in all drafts last year. If it wasn't for the injury at the end of the year, he probably would have been top five, right? Top five, top six value buys in all of the draft last year where he was going. He's going even later this year, right? It seems like now he's a year older. I guess that's being used against him, but it's a similar exact case to what I made for Christian McCaffrey as my RB1 before last year. All these other guys, there are a ton of factors in play. Will this happen? Will the targets happen? Will this happen? Will the whatever it may be. With Adams and players like Adams and Christian McCaffrey, there's only one question you have to ask yourself. Is he going to stay healthy? Because if he stays healthy, he is going to be someone who is impossible to defend one-on-one in the red zone with his release package off the line of scrimmage, his rapport with Matthew Stafford, Matthew Stafford's ability to place the ball wherever the heck he wants with velocity, with accuracy. And again, when you have that ability to win with the quick release off the line of scrimmage in the red zone, and you know you're never going to see one situation where you're going to have a safety shaded over to you or a linebacker cheating, it's always going to be a one-on-one as it's been. You're going to score double-digit touchdowns as long as you stay healthy. So we have a what I feel like is a near guarantee lock at double-digit touchdowns for a player here being drafted at wide receiver 24. This is still a game. As much as we want to talk about targets and receiving yards, as much as we want to say touchdowns regress, it's still a game where touchdowns decide fantasy value and touchdowns decide fantasy production. I've made this case a while. And while it is more likely to predict regression in either direction, for touchdowns versus yards based on targets and all these other factors, there are some guys that just score. Adams, Derrick Henry, these guys just score over and over and over again. And so for me, I'm getting double-digit touchdowns. I probably will never get the target volume he had early in his career, the receiving yards. I don't really care, though. I know I'm going to get, as long as he stays healthy, to 10, maybe more touchdowns. I mean, last year, as I'm rolling through, before Davante Adams got hurt, he finished as a top 10 receiver. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games. That's insane for a player we're paying wide receiver 24 price for. He got injured in week 15, by the way, didn't return. And three of those weeks were top six finishes at wide receiver. So it's like a back middle to back end mid wide receiver one those weeks from a scoring standpoint. So again, it is touchdown heavy. Obviously, he had 14 touchdowns last year, and that's with missing 3 games. I think he'll get to 14, 15 again. Why not?
Okay.
So Dan's right that he is one of those guys that just scores touchdowns. He is the active leader in receiving touchdowns with 117. So he's done this basically since his third year in the league. In that, he still, for his career, has a 7.2% touchdown rate. If he would have had a 7.2% touchdown rate last year, he would have scored 8 touchdowns.
Yeah, you think he would have been a top 24 wide receiver?
You're saying his rate was just too high versus his career last year, which is fine.
Not just versus his career, like his career rate for anybody else in a given season, you would say he's not going to score that many touchdowns again. Not anybody. Most other players, like 7.2 it's high, but you could do it.
That also includes a year with Jimmy Garoppolo. And that includes all this other context for me where it's like, I don't want to take a career rate knowing he was dragged down at times by players like Jimmy Garoppolo when I know he has Matthew Stafford now, who, quite frankly, he scored. I think he's better from a touchdown standpoint with Stafford than he was even with Rodgers, as crazy as it sounds, based on the scheme that Rams run, based on the different opportunities that I watched with my own two eyes last year. I mean, it felt like printing money with them two in the red zone. I don't really see what's going to change. I love Aaron Rodgers. He's obviously an amazing quarterback, Hall of Famer, but they seem to have a better connection in the red zone, Stafford and Adams.
All right, so Heath, you're saying in the 14 games Devontae Adams played, if he had had that touchdown rate, he would have scored 8 touchdowns?
Right. So two fewer fantasy points
for career norm.
Yeah, so I subtracted 36 points from his total. I divided by 14. You get to 13.4 points per game, which last year would have been, or 13.3. That would have been about wide receiver 18. However, the year before that, that would have been wide receiver 31-ish. So, you know, 13.3 fantasy points per game last year would have been pretty damn good. Other than that, it's usually, you know, top 30, top 24 to 30, something like that. That's just one stat. I mean,
I would love to see that stat taking out the Oakland years. I'm with Wisco Dad in the comments. Like, no, I just don't care about what he scored during his time with Oakland and Jimmy Garoppolo.
I don't know about that. He's benefited
to me right now. I don't see why it matters.
Touchdown season with the Raiders.
What'd you say?
He had a 14 touchdown season with the Raiders
in one of those 2 years. Okay. Well, that helps.
All right. And also, you got to remember Matthew Stafford. Look at his 5 years with the Rams. He's been all over the place. Matthew Stafford is going to regress. He's not going to be as good as he was last year. No. We threw 48 touchdowns last year?
Of course. His touchdown rate doubled last year. The three prior years, Matthew Stafford's touchdown rate was 3.3%.
He didn't have Devontae Adams.
I know, 4.6. But it's like an exaggeration.
It's a chicken or egg thing right here.
This is like a caricature of what the Adams-Stafford relationship should be, right? Last year was the best case scenario. Yeah, he's going to catch touchdowns, though. I don't think anyone doubts that, but 33 years old. All right, that's Devontae Adams, and Dan likes Abuka and Adams, among others. And mine were kind of tough for me. I'm just not seeing any, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is incredible value players right now. I'm not going to try to force it, but I think Brock Purdy, now I don't really like him at 96th overall, Brock Purdy, but I do like him as QB 14 overall. I would just hope that QB 14 goes later in your drafts than top 100. But why do I like Brock Purdy? And spoiler alert, I like him less than I did when I sent the text message when I looked into something.
That was like 2 hours ago.
Yeah, well, last 3 years, he's finished as QB 6, QB 11, and QB 4 per game in 6 point per passing touchdown leagues. QB 7, QB 10, and QB 6 per game in 4 point per passing touchdown leagues. So getting him a QB 14, he's been better than that 3 straight years. He's been much better than that. Top 6 per game or 7 per game in 4 point in 2 of the last 3 seasons. He runs the ball now. He scores some rushing touchdowns. I watched his rushing touchdowns over the last 2 years. You have a lot of option looks where he keeps it and scores. You have some QB sneaks in there. So I don't think it's completely fluky that he can score 4 or 5 touchdowns on the ground. And I think what you're seeing is that the 49ers defense is not what it once was. I understand they're going to be healthier than they were last year, but I don't think they have a great defense. And as long as they don't have a great defense in the Shanahan era, they throw the ball. When they've had a top 10 defense, they don't throw the ball. But they've gotten more pass heavy the last couple of years. And I think what we're seeing is that this team is transitioning into Brock Purdy's team. I think that's been pretty evident. So I think he's basically a lock to finish better than where Purdy's being drafted, which is QB 14. He has shown twice in the last 2 years he has top 6 upside. Why do I like him less than all the things I just said would indicate? I hate his schedule. He gets the Rams twice, which is tougher now, but even before that, they went out and got 2 cornerbacks from the Chiefs. He gets the Seahawks twice. In the last 2 games he faced the Seahawks last year, he scored less than 11 fantasy points combined. That was a playoff game, too. He gets Arizona only once. He plays them in Week 18. He gets Denver. He gets Minnesota. Minnesota allowed 1 passing touchdown in their last 7 or 8 games.
About Arizona. That sucks.
Yep. He's also fantasy playoffs for Brock Purdy at the Chargers, at the Chiefs, and home against Philadelphia.
Oh, in the cold in Kansas City. That's no good.
I can't. And he plays at the Giants, which should be pretty cold a couple weeks before that or a week before that. Now, I can't predict the injuries and all these things, but it is worth noting last year, he went berserk in these great matchups in the fantasy playoffs. And before that, Arizona, Tennessee, Indianapolis, Chicago. Chicago was a layup at the end of last year. They were so injured.
Right.
But if everybody were to stay healthy, he would have a really tough schedule. So I like him less than I like to like him. But Brock Purdy is a terrific player on a great offense who throws a lot of touchdowns, runs for enough yards and touchdowns, and will probably crush QB 14.
I'm going to try to turn you back around and get you liking Brock Purdy more again, just because I love Brock Purdy stats. Over the last 3 years, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and Jalen Hurts are the only three quarterbacks who have scored more fantasy points per game.
Wow.
In 6 point per pass touchdown leagues. He is QB4.
Wow. That's amazing.
Since he entered the league, there have been 30 quarterbacks who have thrown at least 1,000 passes. He ranks first in yards per attempt, a half a yard better than anyone else. Second in touchdown rate, one of only two quarterbacks with Lamar Jackson over 6% in terms of touchdown rate. First in success rate at 52.4%, a point and a half better than anyone else. Second in passer rating behind only Lamar Jackson.
What do you think of the schedule thing?
It's not ideal, but like, they might have to just throw 570 passes.
Yeah.
They're probably not going to get to 600. And if they do, and he's being drafted at QB 14.
Yeah.
Like, it's stealing.
Yeah. I hope so.
He also has the best touchdown maker he's had at any point in his career, right? Mike Evans.
Yeah. I do think you have to be a little concerned about Evans being 33 and Kittle coming off an Achilles injury. I definitely think that's like,
but they didn't have any receivers last year.
Right. Yeah. They always find a way. I mean, they had Juwan Jennings, but
last year was as bad as it got for him receiver wise.
Yeah. All right. Nico Collins is my other guy, and my argument for him would be that he was wide receiver 11 last year on a per-game basis in full PPR, wide receiver 10 in non-PPR on a per-game basis, and currently he's being drafted at the 2-3 turn.
Yeah.
Somewhere around wide receiver 9.
He's such an easy win.
Wide receiver 8, I think, in ADP, so that's a little bit better than how he finished, but I just kind of feel like it can't get worse than it was last year for Nico.
Such an easy win.
You think so? I mean, I just don't see him finishing worse than what wide receiver 12. Right. So,
and he had the injury last year, that a couple injuries and a concussion that kind of nagged him.
Well, I mean, he has injuries every year.
He does.
Yeah.
You're kind of dismissing the Nico Collins injury after talking about Kyle Pitts' inability to stay healthy. And I think Nico Collins is like of a significantly worse injury risk than Pitts.
Interesting.
I have a trouble. There's two receivers that go in the same range. I have trouble with figuring out who I like more, AJ Brown or Nico Collins. I think both of them were
Nico for me.
Were, you know, basically hit their floor last year, and they're going back to back as wide receivers 8 and 9 at the 2-3 turn. I think they're both fantastic picks there. I like this rejuvenated AJ Brown playing for his childhood team and with Drake May. And CJ Stroud and that offensive line could definitely hold him back, could hold Nico Collins back. But, you know, I don't really take any target competition seriously for either Nico or AJ Brown. And I think if you take them both, I think that would be a pretty solid strategy personally. Not that you have to. There's some good players there. I mean,
yeah, it's an interesting year for auction drafts because there's a lot of players in this range that I think could be good values. It's almost like a good year to wait.
All right. Does anybody think that Nico Collins is not a good value at 23rd overall?
I like him.
I think, like several of the guys we've talked about, I have him almost exactly where he's being drafted. I have him 21st, so I think he's a good value.
I think when it comes to round two, I don't know if this is true for the entire round. Thomas, could you scroll up just a little bit, go to like 12th overall in ADP? Sorry, the other way. Yeah, so we're talking... we're talking Achan, Barkley, Chase Brown, Hampton, Ken Walker, Drake London, Brock Bowers, Trey McBride, Derrick Henry, Jeremiah Love. I don't think I'd take him there. Nico Collins, AJ Brown. I don't know that I have a big issue if those guys, for the most part, go in any order.
Yeah.
You know?
I can see that.
Huge tier. Heath, your thoughts on that?
Yeah. I think... for the most part, that's I would agree with that.
It's a good year to have it feels like every year to me, but it's a good year to have an early snake pick. I feel like I say this every year. It's just why snake is just a very bad format, but trying not to talk bad on it, trying to be a better person, even though auction is 1,000 times more fair and equitable.
No,
I'll try my best to you say don't, snake is somehow okay.
I don't think you understand. This is like, you don't like the show Friends, right?
I never said I didn't like the show Friends. I don't watch Friends, and I've watched it a few times. It's okay. I would not say I don't like Friends. I just
don't think you're missing the point of Friends. Friends is a show that makes you feel good, feel warm and fuzzy inside.
And is that what snake drafts are supposed
to do? Yeah, snake drafts bring people into fantasy. You know, you would have fewer entries into the fantasy world if auctions were the only way. You know,
but it's kind of like The Wire or something like that, or Game of Thrones, whatever it may be. Like, once people start it, they're hooked and they never go back. But everyone I ever know who I turned on to auction has never gone back to snake, ever.
That's, first of all, what you just said is so false. You're telling me that anyone you've ever introduced to auctions has never done a snake draft again?
How could you tell me that's false? These are people I know.
They've never done a snake. You yourself do snake drafts.
No, I don't mean that. I mean if they've turned a league from auction to or from snake to auction. That specific league has never gone back after experiencing what an auction could be.
No, because a third of them dropped out after the auction. And
no one dropped out. People have time. People have four hours on one day.
You don't. You're way too busy.
I'm not way too busy. I did see the email that you sent. Okay.
So Thomas has a good quote here. Thomas says, auction is Seinfeld, snake is Friends. And I can see that.
That's fair. I'm fine with that. I've always described it as auction is like playing Madden on the all-pro mode and snake is rookie mode, which is fine. I understand people like rookie mode. I just don't think, like, when we look at it like this and we're like saying what you just said, Adam, like, oh, it looks like all these guys in this range can be interchangeable. Well, you can't say that about Jahmyr Gibbs and about Bijan Robinson versus like the back end around one. So it just doesn't seem fair.
Well,
it is what it is.
I think, versus the back end of round one.
Right.
Yeah.
But it is what it is.
But it doesn't always work out that way. Obviously, we're going to be wrong. We just said like 10 players. There's no way they're all going to be even in points per game. Some of them are going to be horrible. Some of them are going to be great.
Yeah. I mean, that's fantasy. Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of is what it is. But I do think I really want an early pick. We always get the question, oh, where should I pick? And
You need early.
I don't always say early, but this year I definitely feel... top five.
I love it when I'm at the, because I'm always at the back of our drafts. For some reason, Jamie always puts me like 10 through 12. He has nothing to do with it. I always tease him.
It is random, but you do seem to end up.
I'm always 10 through 12. And I take Jonathan Taylor and Drake London. And I'm like, wow, this is a pretty awesome start. I don't think Drake London's the same as the guy, as really Nico Collins or the guys you get at the end of round two.
No, you don't think. Oh man. All right. Well, I think
the gap between getting Bijan or Gibbs is wild this year.
Why is London a better pick than Nico?
Well, I mean, for me, because I have him projected to score 40 more fantasy points.
Let's see. Nico outscored him in 2024. I'm guessing London outscored Nico in 2025.
I can't imagine any other year of their career London outscored Nico.
Nico outscored him by, 1.7 fantasy points last year.
Nico still outscored him?
No, I'm sorry. London.
Yeah.
Nico outscored London by 1.1 in 2024. And London won by 1.7 in 2025. So to me, just based on that sentence, I feel like they're pretty even.
Well, there's also the possibility, like the best stretch we ever saw from London was Penix. We'll see, but I don't think Tua helps London at all. We'll see what happens there.
Well, London is the guy who has been only good with Penix, right?
Right.
Yeah.
That's my point. Right. So, like, if Penix doesn't end up winning that job, that is also Nico doesn't have that qualifier or that like extra factor.
Feels like maybe could be a topic for tomorrow's show because I have to go through Heath's rankings and find the ones I disagree with and argue with Heath. Yeah,
That's what Dan did on Friday's FFT Dynasty. We just disagree with my
mostly Jalen Hurts.
Yeah,
where do you think Heath has Jalen Hurts ranked as a dynasty quarterback, Adam?
Sixth,
fourth.
Oh, that's too high.
Fourth.
He's got a 30% chance of having one more year as a starting quarterback.
That's what I was saying.
That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
Once the Eagles move on, what's going to happen?
No, who would want Jalen Hurts if the Eagles move on? Everybody has him, like, wildly better options than the guy that wins 70% of his games and has been to two Super Bowls and is a top five fantasy quarterback for the last 3 years.
Besides
he's basically just Justin Fields.
Besides the last point you made, those first 2 points were just QB wins argument. Keith, which I don't know if you're a QB wins guy, but I've grown to think you might be. The third point, I mean, he's on a specific team that gets him push touchdowns every year. Will that continue once he's off that team?
So do you think that NFL teams care about QB wins?
Not really.
Not sure.
Not if they're
evaluating. I 100% do.
No, no.
I think if you had two quarterbacks who had both produced similar numbers of production, and one of them, their team had won 11 games over the last 3 years, and one of them, their team had won 3 games over the last 3 years, the guy who had won 11 is much more likely to get another chance as a starter.
If they had the same numbers?
The same, I don't know, numbers,
but I don't see how they could have the same numbers. One would win 3 and one would win 11, but
probably not. But also, it's like, I don't know if these teams are really right. Looking at the numbers as much as they're basing it on like their evaluation of the tape.
I agree. Whatever that may be. I mean, yes, if they had the same numbers and one guy won 11 games, yes, he would.
I don't think these teams are going by the numbers, though. So that's my main qualm with that argument.
Yeah, there's just such a narrative that's been put out there over and over again about how Jalen Hurts like doesn't read the defense as well, doesn't go through his progressions, doesn't do a lot of things. But at the same time, for me to imagine that there are 32 better quarterbacks in the football.
He has looked amazing in the playoffs somehow. I don't even know how, because he doesn't look like that ever almost in the regular season unless he's playing a bad team. But like the playoffs, he's looked amazing. So good for him. He's like a big game quarterback.
Yeah. Can he do it without A.J. Brown? That's a big question.
Well, it's not just A.J. Brown. It's Jordan Mailata. It's Lane Johnson. It's Jason Kelce for most of his career. It's the best roster in the NFL by far from Howie Roseman. And it's not even close every single year.
You love Howie Roseman.
I mean, look at the team. Look at the roster. Look at their defense. It's obvious.
Best but he really line, whiffed on quarterback. Defense,
two stud receivers and Barkley. It literally just doesn't get better. He is by far and away the best supporting cast in the NFL.
You just have to wonder, Heath, like, how many quarterbacks would thrive in that offense.
Right.
You would hope it would be pretty much all of most of them.
Can you even just imagine Justin Herbert in that offense when their O-line is healthy?
Justin Herbert.
Herbert in that offense.
If he could just get some good players...
Well, now he does, and you're about to see what it's going to look like.
All right, so Heath, every quarterback is a free agent. You're an NFL GM. Actually, yep. No, only two quarterbacks are free agents, Jalen Hurts and Justin Herbert. Which JH are you going with?
What's the rest of my team? What's my offensive coordinator? What offense does my offensive coordinator want?
No, you pick the coordinator after the quarterback.
They both have the best offensive line. You hire someone for the
football. So I'm just picking the quarterback to start. I'd probably take Herbert.
Okay.
But I think that we have, for his entire career, acted like Justin Herbert, made excuses for Justin Herbert, and discounted everything good Jalen Hurts has done.
I'm pretty pro Hurts.
I don't think everyone discounts.
He was so bad last year.
Jalen Hurts. No, there are a lot of Jalen Hurts people like you who like him.
I like him too.
Most of them live in Philadelphia, but you don't. You're not. You're one of the exceptions there.
I think there's a 30% chance that he's not on the Eagles next year. Maybe I went too far saying he won't be a starting quarterback, but... Things could be
if he's not on the Eagles, his fantasy value is beyond tanking. Can we at least admit that?
I don't know about that.
Beyond like, tanking.
No, just from where it's at now to where it's going to be. Like if we say like Heath had him as his QB4 in Dynasty and you said 6, Adam, or that was your guess. I don't know where you'd have him. But let's say it's in that range of 4 to 8. Any other team, his Dynasty value, it's dropping by at least 5, 6.
Dan, months, right? You're starting a new team and you can have 22-year-old Jalen Hurts. Okay. To start your franchise, or you can have 22-year-old Daniel Jones, or you can have 22-year-old Jackson Dart.
It's Dart for me.
I'm gonna go with Hurts.
It's close between Dart and Hurts for me.
Okay, wait. One more question. You can have those three quarterbacks or 22-year-old Wandale Robinson.
I don't love Wandale as a player. I'm just saying, 140 targets in 2 years in a row, and now gets the same OC who got him those. Like that's pretty much printing.
All right, we got to go. We'll talk to you all tomorrow on Fantasy Football Today. See you later.
Paramount Podcasts.